Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's got a good average at the brass rail, I'll tell you that. I love the brass rail.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Busy day here in Toronto. The Maple Leafs in the news. Lou Lamoriello is out. He's off to New York to take over the Islanders operation. And Mark Hunter is out. Even though he agreed to stick around throughout the draft, and even July 1st, we had Shanahan in studio in the 4 p.m. hour, and they just decided that it was in their best interest to cut bait and to move on. So, you know, Shanahan did say optically they look weaker today, but I don't think there were any surprises here. Like when he decided to hand over the reins to Kyle Dubas, the other two guys were going, and Shanahan said that. He felt like one of the guys was going to get it and the other two were going to leave.
And that's basically probably what everybody in the situation wanted. If you get the job, you're like, okay, these other outside voices here that used to be here that wanted, I don't want them around either. It's better for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. It's weird optically coming up to the draft when the guy that kind of runs your draft, or I think he does, he's the main kind of talent guy, mm-hmm. is not going to be a part of it. That is weird.
I'm concerned about that, I'll admit it. Like, from a Leaf perspective, the fact that Hunter is out a month away from the draft, and even Lou being out a month away from the draft, like, not only about the picks, but what else you were going to do,
what else you were going to talk to.
Well, I mean, who's running the operation in terms of the picks? You know, who's coming up with the big board now? Who's the guy who is going to be responsible for saying, if we get to this spot where these two players are available, we're taking this guy? My understanding was that was Hunter for 3 years. Who is it now?
But somebody would be in place. But like I was saying before, like when I was involved as a pro scout, you have your meetings throughout the season and you build this list. So your director of player personnel always was kind of the head of that. So Mark Hunter would be the head of that. But there are people like in line, like the general manager. There's so many other people involved that I guarantee you they still have the list. It's just that Mark is not the guy who is going to implement it. They will either put somebody in place, or Dubas, I'm sure, is probably going to bring himself up to speed as to who they covet at certain areas, like what he wants. So, like I say, it's not like Hunter is the only guy with the copy of the list and leaves, and then they're, you know.
No, of course not.
Like, they're going to be well-schooled on this. It's just somebody else is going to get elevated. And like Brendan Shanahan was saying last hour, they're probably going to add some voices in there. So it wouldn't surprise me that they're going to add some other people in scouting and wherever else to fill these holes.
Right. They will over time. I'm saying between now and the draft and now in free agency. Like, I'm not worried about the hierarchy of the Maple Leafs. Right. Like, this is still the Toronto Maple Leafs, the richest team in the league, one of the most prestigious teams in the league, who had 105 points and are loaded with talent. This is still a place where a lot of people want to work. They are not going to have a difficult time hiring people to come in. But I don't know if they can fill those holes. In fact, I don't expect that they will between now and next month when they go to Dallas for the draft. And who is, you know, I think they were very comfortable with the idea that Hunter would be the guy, not necessarily at the top of the board, but in the fourth round, it's like, you know what, this is where we should pounce on that kid from Latvia.
Right.
Who's doing that now? I don't know.
No,
you know what I'm saying? And someone's going to have to do it. Someone's going to have to make that call.
And I'm sure the organization wants to get everything in place here, I would assume, relatively soon. I don't know if you can even do it before the draft. But there's been a lot of hiring, firing. There's been a lot of it. I'm sure they just want to say, this is our regime. This is what's going forward.
Right. Well, and you got to believe the players within the organization want to know what's going on.
They don't care,
well,
man.
They don't care about that stuff?
Why would you? Nothing to do with it.
Here's the other thing I'll say. Right.
Then why have we always suggested that Tavares is going to leave the Islanders because their front office is a disaster?
Their team's a disaster, which their front office puts on the ice.
Yeah, I'm more about, like, it's not even about the player. I'm more about we knew that Lou was leaving.
The second he wasn't the GM anymore,
exactly. So those guys know too. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, Brandon Shanahan can't sit here and tell us exactly what's going on. I guarantee you, they've got people in place that they were targeting the minute that they knew Lou was gone, and they knew Mark Hunter would be gone as well.
Johnny Manziel coming up in 20 minutes. It sounds like Jose Bautista is going to continue with his major league career. We'll tell you about that later in the hour. But here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. Just trying to get organized and back in the world that, you know, on this side of the pond, and catch up on a few things and lots of stuff to catch up on.
Ray, we were just talking about the draft and, you know, the awkwardness or kind of the uncertainty going into it without Mark Hunter. What do you make of that? I mean, Brian was just saying, who's going to stand up and say, in the fourth round, we got to go get this guy? Or what do you make of this, the whole thing?
Well, there's going to be a lot more pressure on the regional scouts, because they're all sitting around the table, and, you know, they've got their list. They've compiled their list of guys, you know, and they just keep checking them off one at a time when they go. And in some cases, a lot of teams stay to their list and they never vary from it, and they just pick the next guy on the list. But when there is a debate, you know, I guess the GM can make the final call, but generally speaking, it's after the first round, it's always the head scout, because they're the ones that, you know, they're the boss of the scouts. Well, now there is no head scout. And so the regional scouts are going to have to take some of the responsibility that Mark Hunter would normally have had. It is awkward, only because that's not the way it's designed to work. But I mean the strategy won't change. They've scouted the same players. They've compiled the same list. It'd just be different. I mean, what strikes me though is that, you know, you had this front office that was, you know, that was put in place, and it was working along with the Shanahan plan and all that stuff. And now by making one move, the dominoes tumble pretty quickly, and they're significant. You know, so we've spent a lot of time talking about how the Leafs, and, you know, 5 years ago had nobody in the pipeline, and now they've got all these young players. And, well, they came from somewhere, and that's from the scouting department. And whether they prove to be NHL players, we're going to find out, but now they got to, you know, Dubas's first summer here is going to be loaded with significant decisions. And whether he's a brilliant guy or not, it's going to be it's almost unfair that he's got to try and knock these all out of the park in the same summer, because they're going to be hard. There's you know, we talk about the contracts, but they got to get the scouting staff together and reorganized. They're going to have to hire at least one guy into the front office. I would think it would be, you know, some veteran or more seasoned management guy that would come in and work with Kyle, because they've got to rebuild that too. There's lots to do.
Well, who do you think has more pressure on them in the next month and a half? Is it Dubas or is it Shanahan, because he's the architect of all of this?
Probably Shanahan. Oh, because, I mean, do we really think he's just making this appointment of Kyle Dubas and then he just sits there?
No.
Or do we think that he's involved? Because I think he's involved. I mean, it would be crazy to think not. And
yeah.
So I think everything that Dubas does will be looked at through a double lens now. It's, you know, what he's doing, but also what Shanahan's input into those decisions are. Because the decisions are going to look different than they have over the last couple of years. It's a different guy. Just like any Paul Fenton's decisions in Minnesota are going to be different in a lot of cases than what Chuck Fletcher would have done, because he's a different guy. It's his own style.
Well, it's true, man. I mean, we're so focused on the free agents that are coming up, like JVR, Bozak, and Komarov, because their contracts are off the books. If you want to bring them back, you've got to negotiate. We focus on the three kids, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, because as of July 1st, you can sign long-term deals with them. But I think Dubas, where he's really going to prove his approach, probably guys in the middle. You know, like, he could roll in. Maybe he's not the biggest Kadri fan. Maybe he is. I don't know. But maybe he's not. Like, we're, you know, we keep, maybe we're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah, I think we're, I mean, Brian, you make a great point. Like, I think the optics, Roman Polak, for example.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one.
Easy one.
But you're talking, like, in the middle. Maybe he's not a Connor Brown guy.
Maybe not. Maybe, like, a guy like Gardner's probably the best example, because Gardner's an analytic dream.
Right.
And the idea is that, of course, Dubas would love that, too. But maybe he doesn't. Maybe Dubas looks at him and goes, I know what his numbers are, but I can't get past the mistakes he makes. You know?
Okay, well, I'm going to, so I'll say this with no knowledge, but just viewing from an analytic side or not. I would think they'd like Brown, they'd like Gardner, and they won't like Leo Komarov, for example. Like, right. those seem like the type of decisions that we might see. Like, it just seems to make sense to me. Now, could be totally wrong. Maybe they decide that they're going to move somebody that we don't expect, and that could always happen. But I think it's almost certain that the Leafs will look far different next year than they did at the end of this year, and they'll look far different because of the contracts expiring, but also because Kyle Dubas's decisions will be unlike the decisions that Lou Lamoriello might have made. And it's going to be really interesting because I don't think anybody can really predict what that's going to be.
Well, and the same thing applies with Lou with the Islanders. I mean, now he takes over the Islanders, and everyone's aware of the John Tavares scenario.
Right, we were just talking about that situation. How long do you think it takes Lou to walk in and say, you're not doing that anymore, you're not doing that, I do that now?
Thursday. I ran into Matt Barzal yesterday. We were at baggage claim. You know, he's getting his equipment and clothes off the plane. And I said, so you guys got a new boss? He goes, oh, it went through. He says, yeah. You know, so he's curious. He's like, what do you think it'll be like? I said, I'll tell you one thing. You know that hairdo you got right now? That's not going to pass muster.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to get that thing chopped off. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like, we focus on that stuff because it's kind of funny. You know, you're an adult, and you got another adult telling you your hair's too long. But everything there in Long Island, which has been a muddled whatever for years, is not going to be muddled anymore. Like, you know, Lou goes in, and he's got the velvet hammer there. Like, you know, there's no yelling and screaming. There's just no other way. It's Lou's way. And those guys are going to find that out in a hurry. I look at the Islanders and I'm like, there's so many things that have been upside down for years there, and they're going to be turned around. Like, whether it works or not, I don't know, but it'll be turned around. Like, there's Lou's day starts and things change. And that's, we saw it in Toronto. We knew of it forever in New Jersey, and it's going to be that way in Long Island.
Would you say it's a foregone conclusion that Gar Snow will be walking out the door?
No, not really, but he's not the general manager anymore, even though he is he?
Well, like, that's, can you imagine? It's a title, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, Lou doesn't play in the sandbox well with others.
No.
Like, it's Lou's gig. And, you know, Snow's had a long time there in charge, and, you know, lots of us thought that, you know, that there would have been a change in the past. There hasn't been. And I can't imagine Lou goes in anywhere and just is going to, you know, quote unquote, oversee. I mean, Lou's going in there to do some surgery.
Oh, he's made that abundantly clear. We had him on in the last hour, and he's like, when they expressed to him that he had full autonomy, that's when he showed interest.
Full autonomy means that
it's Lou's way or the highway. But here's the thing, though, Ray. Is he's also walking into a scenario that is very anti-Lou, and that's the Tavares scenario, because John Tavares has 100% leverage. Lou has zero leverage, nothing. Like, the fact that it leaked that they met would have, steam would be coming out of Lou's ears, but there's nothing Lou can do, because if it leaked because of Tavares's camp, and he calls up and starts snapping on him, they'll go, oh, okay, cool. We're going to sign in Montreal. Thanks, Lou. See ya.
Like, see, I don't think there's anything that Lou can do And I don't think it matters that Lou's now calling the shots there in New York. Unless Lou has got a shovel and he's going to start the rink himself, what does it matter who the GM is? Like, what does it matter if you're John Tavares? Doesn't it not come down to, okay, for the next 3 years, that's if everything gets started. They still got to go through a bunch of procedural stuff. In the next 3 years, I'm going to be okay bouncing around and not really having a home. Oh, and by the way, the first time we really have a home was I'm going to be 30. Like, why would he do that? Because Lou's there? Because Lou can't play on the power play. Lou can't play goal. I mean, we all know it's going to be way more organized, and, you know, certainly the path will be very clear. And there, the leak, wherever that leak happened, that'll be the last time that happens. We know that,
right? Yeah.
Because they're, well, man, we couldn't even find out. If you went into the Leaf office and asked what day it was, nobody was going to tell you, because that would be considered a leak. Like, that stuff's all going to shut down, and it's all going to change, but I don't know that that really matters in the context of whether Tavares stays or not.
We really got into it earlier about Vegas, and O hasn't been right ever since. He's still a little bit rattled about our whole conversation because everyone's got a different take on whether or not this is a good thing for the league, bad thing for the league. Regardless, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible story, and I was just in Vegas over the weekend. Full support.
Here's his hot take, Ray. He said, because of what Vegas is doing in these playoffs, the NHL can no longer call the Stanley Cup the toughest trophy in sports to win.
Why would he say that?
No kidding.
Because if an expansion team can do it, it can't be that hard.
Maybe they're just a good team.
It can't be then. So, Brian, so you've been sucking on a suitor since 1967.
Well, yeah, the Leafs, obviously. I get it.
Well, you just told me it's not that hard.
No, what I'm saying is this has always been the narrative. Hockey players love promoting this as if it means something. Like, it's, you know, it's always hockey's the toughest, based on what? Like, somehow this is a scientific fact.
Because you get the crap kicked out of you for 2 months. That's why it's the hardest trophy.
Okay, but if an expansion team can kick everybody's ass in 1 year and get
maybe
to the cup
that
final,
good. Who cares how they got that good? But they're that good.
I think it takes a real run at that narrative. I really
all
do.
I'm
I think
saying
it, all of a sudden it cheapens that narrative.
All I'm saying
lot.
Is let's have this conversation 2 weeks
if
from
they
now
actually
if
win.
They win, because there's lots of Cinderella stories that end up falling short.
100% agree. I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why anybody thinks this is bad for the league. Because if Vegas came in and won 14 games and they had 12,000 fans in the rink, everybody would be ragging this decision. Mm-hmm. Told you Vegas wasn't a hockey town. See, they shouldn't even be in the league. We love to complain about Phoenix. It's got nobody in the building. Or Florida, that they actually, when they broke the glass a few years ago, they could plywood the section that in the game. Remember they threw that plywood there? They just moved the fans to a new section because they had plenty of room. We love those stories because it's ridiculous. This is phenomenal for the league. Just look at all the free publicity they've got. Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, it's a home run for them. I don't dispute that. Like,
I still don't know how the hell they're doing it.
Well,
look at their roster.
Me neither. But here's what I will say. From a cynical standpoint, Ray, though, I'd like to see where they're at when they miss the playoffs for 5 years. If it's in 10 years, 20 years, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's going to happen.
Of course it will. And then we'll see if the dealers are wearing Golden Knights jerseys. And
right.
Then we'll really see. Because,
like, the crazy part is they could easily backstep by 10 wins next year. Easily.
Yeah,
like easily. So they got to decide. Just think of the players they've got to try and re-sign. Are they going to do that? Is Marc-Andre Fleury possibly going to play this good next year? Because, Noodles, you can tell me, but I did that first round series, and what I'm watching now, I've never seen him play better.
He's
never.
Been unreal. Unreal.
And so is he going to do that again next year? Well, if he is, God love the flower, right? Like, awesome. But this is a lightning bolt that has lasted for 8 months. I can't believe it. I look at their defense. Two players on that defense, for example, I think other teams would be like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have him, would be Nate Schmidt and Shea Theodore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a great team. Oh, yeah, they are. They're just, they get it done. Incredible. William Karlsson going to score 43 goals next year? Probably not. But holy crap, what a year. Like, it's all amazing. I can't believe any of it. And I don't buy that it can't be good for the league.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens.
Did you have any fun there? Or were you just looking around for people watching
jealous.
The hockey game?
Yeah,
him and his
pigeon
buddies, they just bet on hockey games in the sports book.
Well, that didn't help. We bet on the Jets on Friday. And
I would have bet on the Jets on Friday, too.
Well, yeah. I thought they were due.
They were
the Generals against the Globetrotters. They were due. But
they were due.
The muffin of all muffins gets allowed in the third, and there goes our ticket up in flames.
You must have been so rattled.
Oh, I was ready to find Hellebuck in Vegas. Can I have a word with you about that muffin?
Have you ever gone in there and bet a three-team parlay when you can move the line?
Mm-hmm.
So you can move the line 10 points. You're like, there's no way I can lose.
Oh, yeah.
And you never win.
No. Everything's the lock of the century when you actually put the money down. And nothing comes in, ever.
That's why those bloody hotels are so big.
They keep
losers
going on.
Like us, we're like, oh, I've outsmarted the system.
That's
I've
right.
got it.
Yep, that's right. We all have it all figured out when we land, and then we're sore
now, are you guys
losers.
I think Overdrive should come to Vegas for the finals.
I'll be there.
Send a note to the boss, and we'll do it.
Now, why are you coming, Noodles, to work or just to hang out?
I've offered to work for free, and then I'll hang out. And the only thing I will submit for expenses is my hangover heaven in the morning when I get the IV to bring me back to life. That'll be it. So it's about a $200 bill.
I didn't realize that was a Bell-approved expense.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to some people to see if we can get that approved.
The financial autopsy afterwards probably won't be so great. But anyway, we got Johnny Manziel calling in, so we got to fly.
Oh,
here.
Sweet. You go talk to him.
Yeah, we will.
Awesome.
We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Later, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, Vegas super fan. All right, Johnny Football coming up. Where's he living? What's his plans? What was guaranteed? What can we expect out of him? He'll join us next. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Jays back in action tonight down at the Rogers Center tonight. The Angels in town. So you got Mike Trout. You got Shohei Ohtani. Jays are struggling, man. We talked a lot about it in the 5 p.m. hour. Not a good scene. Not
four-piece
a good scene.
Sweep by the Oakland A's.
Yeah. That's not the 27 Yankees. That's the A's. The Athletics roll in and sweep you. And a couple of them were like bad, ugly blowout games. So not good for the Jays. Good scene in Hamilton, though, over the weekend. I was down in Vegas, and it was making the rounds in Vegas. People were buzzing about this signing. And something I think we were expecting, people were bracing for it to an extent, but we weren't sure when it was going to happen. Johnny Manziel has signed with Hamilton. He's in Hamilton practicing with the Ticats. We caught up with him about 2 months ago, and circling back now, he's back on the show. Here's Johnny Manziel. How you doing, Johnny?
Back again, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. So take us through the process here. Like, at what point, when we talked to you a couple of months ago, you weren't sure which path you were going to take. When did it become clear for you that the CFL in Hamilton was the right spot?
You know, we pretty much sat back and said that, you know, after the spring league, we're going to talk to a lot of people, see, and gave it 4 weeks. And after the end of the 4 weeks, we knew it was pressing on training camp up here. And I really just, you know, I wanted to get up here and start being a part of a team again and getting back to doing what I really missed for a couple of years. So I'm very excited about it and getting up here and talking with everyone. Getting to know these guys on the team has been, it's been great.
Did you have serious talks with any NFL teams, or did that just kind of die down and you said going to Hamilton?
No, I mean, we vetted every situation. You know, me and my agent, my family really sat there, looked at everything. You know, I talked to past coaches, got advice from a lot of people around, you know, both leagues. And, you know, I felt like this was the best career decision.
What have NFL teams told you over the past few months that they're looking for out of you? What do they want to see from you in the CFL?
I mean, for now, my focus is really on the CFL. You know, I'm here for 2 years. I came up here. I know I have to earn my place up here. Just from the few days of practice, I see this is a high level league. And there's a bunch of good players out there. There really are. And, you know, I'm impressed with the quarterbacks that we have here. You know, some guys on our defense are really standing out. But, you know, I'm having fun getting a chance to really learn this again.
Well, and that was something we've debated for quite some time. I mean, you get compared to a guy like Doug Flutie because of your college career and your size. And Flutie came up here and lit the CFL up. But he was here for 8 years, like 8 years in the CFL. I mean, are you prepared for that kind of time that you might have to commit to the CFL? Do you have a drop-dead date in terms of when you want to get back to the NFL or make another life decision? How are you going to handle that?
You know, for now I'm here, and I did sign my contract. I am here for 2 years, and I have absolutely no problem with me coming up here, earning my place here, and showing people that I can get back into the building and do what I need to do to be successful in the career that I'm doing. And I know that it may take, you know, more time than I'm accustomed to learn some of this stuff, but, you know, I feel comfortable that all the guys we have here, the coaches we have here, you know, done nothing but help me catch up on this playbook and the things that are going to help me, you know, settle in football-wise. So being patient with it, I know it's going to take some time, and we'll see how long, you know, everything else plays itself out down the road.
The transition to the CFL, you just mentioned the playbook. It's just a different animal than down south. Is it something that you can feel like you can get accustomed to very quickly just because of your skill, or is it something that you're going to wade in kind of slowly and see how you adjust?
You know, I wouldn't say the volume is as much as the stuff that I've been accustomed to in the past, but just the intricacies of the routes, blocking schemes, some certain things are a little bit different. But, you know, I feel like I have a good grasp on it right now, and I'm continuing to watch some of this game film that they have up here and see, you know, when Coach Jones came in last year and see some of the stuff they did and, you know, compare that to the reps we have in practice are, you know, going to be beneficial for me for sure. You know, I'm starting to piece some things together and just, you know, day after day, learn one thing, you know, to keep getting better. And I feel like, you know, the playbook will come naturally.
With Johnny Manziel, you mentioned June Jones, your head coach, and during the courting period, so to speak, when you guys were going back and forth, he was really pumping your tires publicly. And I think he said something along the lines of, you have the capabilities to be an all-time great CFL player. I mean, that's putting a lot of pressure on you before you even step in. But with that being said, I mean, has he given you any guarantees? Do you believe you're going to be starting day one? How has that been handled in terms of what you're expecting now that you're in Hamilton?
You know, I'm obviously a competitive person, but, you know, right now, just watching Jeremiah the last couple of days, the guy's definitely, a really good quarterback up here. Just the way he knows the offense, the ins and outs of everything. You know, he's been nothing but a pro in the locker room, helping me with everything, so I'm appreciative of that. And, you know, as Coach Jones has stated, you know, he said it's going to take a lot to come in here and earn my respect and, you know, learn this playbook and execute it. That's the thing. I have to go out and just piece by piece learn stuff and then go out and try and make some plays and see what happens. But other than that, I know it's going to be a process. It's going to take some time. So, you know, I'm tempering my expectations from a personal level because I know, you know, times in the past where I've expected more and struggled with it a little bit, I've got down on myself. So, you know, I have things in place right now that I think things are going really well and I'm in a good position.
How about the transition to the city of Hamilton? I mean, it's a smaller town outside of Toronto. I mean, are you looking for places closer there? Are you going to live in the big city and commute? Are those things, obviously, I know from traveling around in my pro career, you always looked for places that were easy to get to and easy access, but you still need to have somewhat of a lifestyle. Is that something that you've had to put a lot of thought into?
Yeah, not a lot of thought. I mean, I'm here, obviously, have some time in the dorms and stuff to figure out what's going to happen when we're out of training camp. So, you know, I don't anticipate being far from the facility. I like being able to bounce in and bounce out, not have to worry about a commute. So that's how I've always handled stuff in the past. And, you know, I have a little regimen of things I like to do during the week that I'm going to try and add extra time because I know the time that we do have is less than what I'm accustomed to, like in the NFL and stuff. So, it's going to be a little bit kicked into overdrive for the next couple of weeks, but I feel like I have a solid grip and I'm actually going out and doing some things on the field.
How do you balance being with the guys again? I'm sure when everybody leaves the game or the game is taken away, they miss being around the guys. And there's also an excitement level when all the boys get back together. They want to go out. They want to do stuff. How do you balance that? Enjoying it and kind of saying, I also got to be on my best behavior here, but it's still enjoying your teammates.
Yeah, the easy part is getting back into this and getting into the locker room and getting, you know, start talking to guys and seeing where guys are from and going through the normal conversation that goes on like that. And, you know, it's refreshing because it is something that I definitely missed for a long time. You know, I remember a lot of conversations from a football field. My friends that I have now, majority of them are football players, and the place that this game takes you is incredible. So to get here and start doing some things like that again is the easy part. But, you know, everybody has their life off the field. I know what I have to do off the field to ensure success. And, you know, I know there's times where, you know, because of how I've been in the past, I'm making better decisions these days. So, you know, I'm enjoying my teammates for what it is, but, you know, I'm up here and I have a job. You know, I'm going to take this extremely serious because not only am I completely changing a type of sport, you know, it's a different offense, a lot of different things up here, you know. I just need to continue to do what I need to do to focus on football.
With Johnny Manziel, I mean, your celebrity's well known. You were a great college player. You won a Heisman, you know, first-round pick to the Browns. Last time we had you on, you talked about your relationship with Drake, and you know a lot of celebrities and your Twitter followers and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. In terms of the reaction from Canadians and the Canadian media, were you expecting this kind of a reaction? Were you expecting this kind of a buzz that you've created once you signed in Hamilton?
I haven't really seen it or heard it, you know?
Well, it's been out there, man. People are buzzing about it.
I've seen the excitement. Obviously, a bunch of people have been out the last couple of days at practice. It's been refreshing to see, you know, signed a couple jerseys and things like that. So the turnaround that quick to be welcomed like that, it's been great. But other than that, you know, the day's pretty much been football, football, football. I'm not on my phone very much. When I'm on my iPad, I'm watching film, and you know, that's really what it's been like the last couple of days. I feel like I'm behind, you know, set back a little bit from getting in and missing a mini campus and certain things like that. So, you know, I have to kick this thing into overdrive, like I said earlier.
Are you bringing the money sign to Hamilton?
Man, I don't anticipate it, but you never know. I'm up here to have fun. I'm up here to get back the ball, and you know, that was a part of my life that where I was playing well and I was doing some things. So, you know, I feel like I have to play up to that status if I'm going to do anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a part of the program, man. I mean, first touchdown you throw for, you run for. I think you got to bring the money sign out. I think people would be looking for that in Hamilton.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not crazy to suggest.
No.
Go for it. Bring it. Well, we'll be tracking you, man. We're looking forward to seeing where this goes and where you take it. And I know when you roll through Toronto, there's going to be a buzz here. We were talking about this earlier this afternoon. When you're here, if you're playing and you're starting, we'll be down at the park. So we're looking forward to it. And best of luck in Hamilton. And I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time. Thank you, guys.
There's Johnny Manziel, the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
I love it. I think it's great for the league.
It is. Yeah.
Well, he's going to bring the money symbol for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
part of his whole, I think he probably will. I think it's probably instinctual
level.
Too,
you know,
right?
I honestly liked where his head is at, but I also, you can almost tell there's a little bit of nerves in you know, hey, he's missed some football. He feels like he's behind a little bit as far as the transition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what he can bring.
Well, and I'm sure they've had conversations, his party and the Tiger Cats, in terms of what the expectations are,
right,
what he'd like to see happen, what they think can happen. But he's playing his cards the right way. He's not going to come out and be like, I'm starting day one.
I'm
going to destroy these guys. You know, he's got to be respectful because of now he's in it. You know, now you are actually in the locker room. And there are guys throughout the league that want to get after you. And they want to prove that they can shut you down or they can pick you off or whatever it is. And it's a job. You know, these guys aren't working for free. I know they're not making the same amount of money they make in the NFL, but this is what they do for a living.
Well, and so, he'll be a target.
Absolutely. But even, you know, just the quarterback battle in Hamilton, it's not like the incumbent is just going to be like, here's the ball, Johnny. I was a big fan. You take it. I'm going to go stand over here and I'll take a pay cut for you. He's like, screw that, man. I want the ball. I'm playing. So, you know, that's competition. That's pro sports and that's football. So he's been off for a couple of years.
No.
And they're easing him into it. And he said that. He kind of expected that. And he's been at practice a couple of days. But they're going to protect him because they know they have to. They're invested in him now for 2 years.
Well, don't you think if he doesn't win the starting job and he's going to be a backup quarterback in the CFL, he might pull ninja dust on the whole situation too?
Depends on how it unfolds. You know, like if Hamilton is a bad team or something and ends up...
Yeah, if he goes out there and he's an absolute yard sale, he might just say, check, please.
All eyes will be on him.
Well, that's the thing that he's dealing with here. Unlike any other scenario I can think of, even dating back to the Ricky Williams experiment where he was suspended for a year and he came up here, and he didn't light up the CFL.
Right.
But he was a running back. I mean, this is a quarterback league. It's a quarterback sport. Like, if you're starting, the ball's in your hand every single snap. There's no avoiding it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a great left guard, people aren't going to focus on you.
No.
You know,
he's
like,
the guy.
He's the man. He's the guy. Everyone's going to be watching him. Everyone's going to be tracking him. And everyone's aware that he's up here for a couple of years, but his end goal is to get back to the NFL.
Well,
so he's also going to be compared to what's going on in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so if he's lighting up the CFL, okay, that's one thing, but is he better than the guy who's just okay in the NFL? But I don't know.
Say he's lighting up the CFL and there's an injury or there's inconsistent play. How many times this year did we argue that, well, this team's got a brutal quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's a... It's a big opportunity for him, and all eyes will be on him. I think they've never, in recent memory, he's the biggest name that's come to the CFL in recent memory, as far as, especially a story like this.
Yeah, there's nothing that compares to this.
Right.
In terms of the story, in terms of the magnitude of who he was and what he represents.
Right, there's been other stars, but saying this is a really unique story.
He's a celebrity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in a lot of ways, and I think he knows that he's used up all of the goodwill.
Right.
That's another thing. Let's say he performs really well, and then out of nowhere he gets in trouble.
A slip up off the field.
That's probably going to be it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because the NFL is, they're looking at what you're doing on the field,
but they're
also tracking what he's doing off the field.
For sure.
So, we'll see.
Friend of the show?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, we've had him on a couple of times over the past 2 months, and he's kicking it into overdrive. We appreciate that.
May have to use that as a soundbite.
Yeah.
I didn't want to head down the tatty path. There was no opening there.
No. You don't want to ask him about the tat man, and he goes, who? Pardon?
He would never say that. He knows a little yes guy, no guy.
Yeah.
He's going to get hit with that.
Oh, after like every game, yes guy, no guy. Yes guy, no guy with Johnny Manziel. We should have played Manziel guy with Johnny Manziel. Yes guy, no guy with Johnny Manziel.
We'll do it.
Next time he's on, we'll do that.
A couple games into the season when he's feeling better.
Yeah, we'll let
Maybe
him get...
Maybe we'll figure out a game called You're the Manziel or You're Not the Manziel.
I like it.
See if he wants to be involved in that. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Recap what
we started
has been.
Off good anyway, didn't
we? Yeah, we were flying there. We've had a crazy show.
It has been a crazy
show. I'm running on fumes. Like, I'm coming
up
on
a wall.
You drank too much Red Bull or something on the weekend. You're hitting a wall.
I'm starting
vodka
to hit a wall.
Red Bull.
Well, I had a cold leading up to Vegas.
Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, that's
you know how it is.
Excuses. You got rid of the cold. Don't worry.
We're good. So we'll get to our best bets. Tee up tonight. Jays, Angels, Game 7 tomorrow night. We haven't even mentioned that. The NBA playoffs continuing. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
I told this guy to spice up the tunes a little bit from the heavy metal, and now it is full-on R&B.
I don't know.
Well, I liked how we had Lou on hold and we're playing Drake coming in. That was great.
And you knew, like, you were going to head down that path. Lou, confirm or deny.
Yeah, you guys stopped me. You were right to do so. I was thinking about it. I was going to ask him, like,
Lou was laughing at the end until you said, yeah, we hope that Dubas fleeces you with a couple trades. And that just went, like, that almost
laughter.
That was a fart in church.
No laughter at all. Well, and he got me back with the, hey, Jamie and Jeff, I want to thank you guys for everything. I'm like, all right, Lou, I got you.
Yeah, he
didn't mix in a Brian?
No, he didn't.
No, there was no Bri guy in there.
No.
There was just a Jamie and Jeff. But, yeah, that was because of the...
Do you want to hear it?
The fleecing of the drink.
We have the clip. I think it was honest. This was after I had made that joke.
Well, yeah, because you were like, thank you so much, Lou. And, you know, be honest, you know, we want Kyle to do real well here and fleece you with a couple trades.
Yeah.
Like feathers.
Nothing. Not even a
I thought he
chuckle.
Hung up.
I thought he did, too.
Crickets.
I didn't think it was an inappropriate comment. We were goofing around.
I know, but
and he was talking about Kyle Dubas and how he thinks he's going to be a great GM. And
let's hear
this. This is how he got me back. Lou stabbed me in the back afterwards.
Great, Jamie and Jeff. Thanks for all the things that you guys did, and I really appreciated it.
That's payback for a hazy B.
That is payback, probably. Yes.
Feathers.
Yeah. That's you made a stupid joke that I didn't appreciate, so you are a pigeon, and I'm not even going to bring up your name. Sorry, Lou.
It's all right.
What are you going to do?
Now he's.
Sometimes you shoot for the stars.
It was good. I thought Lou was good. He was enjoying himself near the end. We always got a couple laughs out of Lou.
I'll tell you what, Soto will take a hit with him leaving town.
Yeah.
That was the Leafs' spot.
So good there.
You think Dubas will find a spot?
No. You got to be, I mean.
He's got a young family. I think he goes right home.
Well, yeah, you got a young family. You got your kid acting up at restaurants. That's a no guy.
But you can't be kicking around like.
Moxies?
Well, I mean, I don't have anything against a Moxies, but you know
you
what I mean?
You can't eat at home, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. But I'm saying, if you're the GM of the Leafs, there's kind of a certain stature of restaurant that you would expect.
So he's at Harbor 60 with his kid throwing stuff on the floor because he's got a little boy.
I don't know.
So
maybe. We'll talk to him. We'll give him a pep talk.
Exactly.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Under the number, Atlanta-Philly tonight. Two surprise teams in the NL East. I'll take Washington home plus over the Padres. And I'm on Houston at home over San Fran. Throw down 20. You can score 63. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So we had Brendan Shanahan in studio. Mm-hmm. We had Lou on the phone. We had Johnny Manziel on the phone. We had Ray. Ray was engaging. Ray was up.
Yeah, he
for
was
a good
actually
chat.
Somewhat of a good mood.
Yeah, he was in a great mood. He's back in Vancouver.
House is probably done. That's why.
So it's been a good afternoon.
We're going to recap tomorrow, maybe replay some of those interviews. We're going to start at 4 p.m.
We'll replay then.